Good morning and welcome to the Monday, February 12th edition of Byers & Company. This hour continues. Jim Root will be in. He's running for sheriff on the Republican side. Mark Tupper and Tupper on sports. And man, we got enough Korean food here to feed an army. You ready to go? Tuesday, Monday, what day is it? It starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
It's all in here. Are you guys going to come in and get some food?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, is it good?
Yeah, it smells delicious.
It is. It's beyond delicious. I was looking at this, what are these pancakes? It's
kimchi?
Yes, which is cabbage, like a spiced cabbage.
Right.
Oh, my God, is it good? I'm afraid there's something in there that will kill me, though. I'm looking for one dish.
Put that into your MyFitnessPal, buddy.
Well, the kimchi, the calamari, and the shrimp. I'm trying to figure out which one that is so I don't eat it and die before the show's over. But the rest of it is absolutely amazing. What a bunch of nice folks. I tell you, yeah. You know, people come here, and this is what I hate about the whole debate on the national stage about people working hard and wanting to become American citizens and doing, you know, these folks are out there, like, you know, an entire family. And from what I have been told, this place is just immaculate. I mean, like, unbelievable.
Yeah.
And they have this entire Korean menu, and they're filling, like, a niche. You know, I didn't even know it was there. Uh-uh. I mean, I knew the yogurt place was there.
Well, I had gone in because they have one of the best frozen yogurts because everything's really fresh.
Absolutely. Well, Kokomero is the place right out there by the Hickory Point Mall, and they have an entire authentic Korean menu. And I would tell you, a lot of people will just sort of refer to Asian food like it's all the same thing.
This is not the same.
Food from the Philippines versus Vietnam versus Korea versus Japan versus China. You know, it's all very different. And if you like spicy, you know, their stuff is really, really good. It really, really good. So get out and try some. Be good, you know, now the winter games are underway, you're learning a little bit about a culture. Go out there and, you know, get some takeout, or you can go there and eat. It's fantastic.
I mean, they brought this whole, like, spread and, like, prepared it and, like, on fancy plates.
Well, I mean, and he was explaining to me, the gentleman who was there, that the Korean tradition is to use these handmade steel bowls. I mean,
and they're here.
Handcrafted.
Yeah. It's interesting the way that they do the cooking.
Jim Root's with us here today. He's running for sheriff. And you spent some time, you were in Okinawa, is that right?
I spent almost 2 years in Okinawa, Japan. Yeah.
So
and
you
I
traveled
did, I have been to Korea.
All right. That was when you were serving in the United States military?
Yep.
Yeah.
I was in the Marine Corps for 4 years.
So what's it like for, you know, Marine running around Japan?
It's not bad. Yeah. Some of the culture doesn't like you, but they get by, and you know they do. But the Koreans, they love us.
Yeah,
they love us over there.
Well, you know, we've been a huge ally going back to the Korean War, and obviously the Americans are enjoying themselves over at the Winter Games. Do you watch much of the Olympics?
No, I'm not much for sports.
Yeah, not really sports in general.
I used to watch football, but I kind of got away from that.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people have. They certainly have. All right. Well, you are in a little different place here, meaning that you're not, you know, you don't have to worry about the primary, which is coming up in a few weeks. You're going to take on whoever comes out of that primary on the Democrat side. You're running as a Republican for Macon County Sheriff. So not that you get to sort of breathe easy, but your focus is on November, which is, you know, a little bit down the line.
Yeah, my game plan is to play for the November game.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which one of the two other candidates that I'll be faced off against, but, you know, I'm playing to do that in November.
All right. So how is the morale? And I don't want you to speak for anybody else. Just, you know, you got three guys that have all been there for a very long time, right? You know everybody down there. It's a pretty small place, you know, a pretty small world. Is the race getting in the way? I mean, what's your sense of how, you know, just in the office in general, when you've got three guys, people are going to draw lines, they're going to pick people. I mean, that's just sort of human nature, right?
Now, everybody seems to be getting along pretty well in the office, but you do see a little bit of contention. Not so much between the three candidates, but, you know, but amongst the ranks of the men and women that are working there.
Yeah, that's what I told all you guys, you know, when you started this. I mean, everybody can have the best intentions, but you still got three guys that have been down there a long time, and you got your supporters or detractors or whatever, and that dynamic's going to play out. I just hope you guys, I mean, so far, you guys all have done a good job of, like, keeping this above board. But you know, it's just, you're human beings.
Yeah, we try to be civil, especially, you know, at the office, be professional. We have a job to do. Make sure that we're continuing to do that job and fulfill the mission of the sheriff's office.
All right. What do you you know, this sheriff that's sitting there now is spending an awful lot of money trying to make this a better place for whoever gets the office next time around. How lucky are we as a community to have a resource like this that's really looking at long-term problems and trying to implement change?
We're very fortunate. He's doing things that we would never have been able to do outside of, you know, the budget.
He's bringing in
capabilities that, you know, and identifying issues that we've neglected for years and being able to fix those to, you know, even they could be very small and minute, to make even morale a better thing for the department.
I love when the politicians, you know, ask, you know, why it hasn't been done before. It's like, well, because you guys have never had the funding to be able to do it. He really is looking at things. And I don't know that people realize the depth to which he is looking at things and trying to solve problems.
Yeah, if we were going to spend, you know, $1 million on squad cars, you know, the public with public money, the public would be outraged. You know, $1 million on that, we could be spending it on something else.
Yeah, or the jail or whatever else is.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that the jail is our responsibility, and, you know, we have to maintain it. The people that are in the jail, majority of those are waiting to be tried. You know, they're presumed innocent until they're found guilty. I mean, we have to treat them with the rights that's given to them by the Constitution.
Yeah, and it's tough to do on a budget, right? I mean,
it is tough to do it on a budget. Now, we're not saying that, you know, the meals are wonderful. We're not serving steak sandwiches and stuff like that up there. But, you know, we have to provide a service to
basic
that, to
care.
Basic care.
Yeah. All right. So, what made you decide to run? I mean, when did you decide, and what made you decide? You know, that you want to be the next sheriff of Macon County.
Well, you know, I've been in a leadership role with the sheriff's office pretty much most of my career. Whether it was leading the deputies as the union president or a sergeant or a lieutenant. You know, that is what I've been doing. And this gives me the opportunity to take that role to the next level. And it gives me the ability to make sure that this department is represented with the leadership that it needs to carry it into the future and fulfill the vision that is being set forth by Sheriff Buffett right now.
All right. And to those out there that think of Sheriff Buffett as sort of some sort of sideshow, you know, like he's just doing this. I mean, they clearly don't know the guy, right?
Yeah, there's a lot perception that you know, he's got his way into this department. But I tell you, his intentions are 100% genuine when it says he has a passion for law enforcement and he loves what we're doing.
Yeah. When I talk to strangers or people will ask me about this just because of our relationship, and I'm like, you don't have any idea how much, I mean, this guy cares about the men and women of this department, not only here, but in Arizona and elsewhere, and the resources he's put behind. I would think that would be comforting in this day and age where the last couple of years, you know, you turn on cable TV and all of a sudden law enforcement's the bad guy. To have support like that, it must feel especially empowering in this day and age.
It is, because not only does he love this department, he loves this community.
Mm-hmm.
He's out there doing other things within the community to make the community a better place. Yeah, the community's kind of struggling economically right now, but, you know, with a little bit of, ideas and some things that he can put out there, might set it up for a long, viable future.
All right. Now, you were at the opioid luncheon the other day, and we had a forum with Sheriff Buffett and Chief Getz and the state's attorney and the hospitals and all of this. Drugs are a major problem. This is a major problem. We may not be at full impact of this yet. You can see on the East Coast, you know, in like New Hampshire and Vermont, even into Ohio, where this stuff has just ravaged communities. Do people understand how dangerous this stuff is?
You know, drugs have always been a problem in our community. If, you know, right now it's hitting the people, you know, that are average Joes, the ones that had previously had, viable jobs and have got addicted to some type of a pain pill and then resulted to heroin. Yes, this is going to affect us. And if we don't take a proactive approach to correct it right now, then we're going to have a hard time whenever it hits us full impact.
And you're arresting people or seeing people in this that you've never seen before, right? I mean, people, as you said, not recreational drug users that graduate to a tougher drug. Sheriff Buffett was telling me about a 67-year-old grandmother, you know, with no criminal record, you know, buying heroin. I mean, these are folks you've never seen before in this system.
First of all, we don't need to be filling up our jail with users. We need to target the people that are distributing this. The users are people that are necessarily kind of victims of the circumstance in which, you know, brought them to their addiction, and they do need the ability and some kind of resource to be able to provide them with some type of rehabilitation. we need to lock up the drug dealers. And what happens is a lot of the people that are using are going out and they are committing some kind of crimes. You know, they're doing thefts and stuff like that to feed the addiction.
Yeah.
If you don't break that, that addiction, you know, they're going to continue on that path of breaking the law. And that's what we don't want, is we don't want to throw good people in jail for, you know, going out and trying. They need to be held responsible because they know that, they're committing crimes. But they need, if they've got an addiction, they need to get help.
Yeah, because long run, that's going to be cheaper in society, right? To give them help up front rather than incarcerate them
It does cost a lot of money to incarcerate people. And if they are redeemable, they should be given the opportunity through the drug court and those opportunities to be able to get help for their addiction and to be productive citizens again.
All right. Is this a Republican or Democrat office to you? I mean, I think most people vote for the person.
Well, it's always been.
You're going to pick a party to run.
You're going to pick a party, but
I don't know that most people consider it. Like, I don't think you're going to get a vote just because you're Republican or just because you're a Democrat. I think people want the right guy or gal to be in that place.
That's not necessarily true, because there are a lot of police officers in the world that are Republicans, and they don't necessarily pull Republican ballot because they're, especially in a sheriff's race, because the sitting sheriff is a Democrat. You know, they might not pull a Republican ballot to vote
in the primary,
for the other guy.
You're talking about, but in the general, it'll be
general. Yeah, that they'll typically will vote for the person that they feel is the best person.
All right, what kind of feedback are you getting since your announcement back? When did you announce?
I was the first one to announce back in March.
March. So it's been almost a year. What kind of feedback are you getting from the community at large? Not necessarily law enforcement, just people you meet day in and day out that say, hey, you're running, and they give you their 2 cents.
Well, the majority of the people that I'm associating with right now are all Republicans, and we haven't had a Republican sheriff since 1966 to 1970.
Why do you think that is?
That's because it's been filled with a person that ran as a Democrat. You know, Jerry Dawson ran as a Democrat, but typically had conservative views.
Kept him from running because he had the audacity to vote for George Bush. That didn't thrill everyone. Anyway, you're talking to folks. What do they want to see? What do they expect out of a sheriff? What do they want from Jim Root if you're elected in November?
They want me to be financially responsible with their money to make sure that the taxpayers' money is not being wasted. And they want to see somebody that's tough on crime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the average people that are being victims of crime want people held accountable. And in order for us to be accountable to the public, we have to, go out and make arrests and actually investigate crimes.
Yeah, we're talking about the drugs. Somebody just sent me a picture from a police department. I think it was in Canada, or I don't know, but anyway, it was a social media picture looking at heroin and fentanyl and some of these other drugs. I don't know if you're familiar with the story out of Boston where they made this arrest. They arrested a drug dealer with enough fentanyl to kill everybody in Massachusetts.
I've heard about it.
Right? Lewis Jackson was the topic of conversation at this luncheon because he was carrying what, and I don't think most citizens, when you say 70 grams, I don't even know what that means, right? But I learned at the luncheon the other day that's 700 hits of heroin, basically.
That's 700 large hits.
Yeah, large hits.
Enough to probably have an overdose.
Right. So that could mean 700 deaths. I mean, it probably wouldn't be all 700, but that's the potential for 700 deaths. Why do we treat it so differently than bullets?
You know, I don't understand that, because we're losing more people by heroin overdoses.
Far and away.
You know, 2016, I believe we had 19.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when you look at the gun violence and the people that are getting shot, there's a lot of shootings, but there's not a lot of people dying because bullets are not as, they're dangerous, but
not as dangerous as fentanyl.
They're not taking as many lives.
Yeah.
So they don't see it at the same level, but, me, I'm come from the narcotics enforcement background because I was in the task force. I see this every day when I was out there doing the enforcement part of it. You know, the users are trying to feed their habit, and they're going out and buying drugs and overdosing. We didn't have this kind of heroin problem when I was doing enforcement. Heroin was very, very, very rare. Barely seen.
No, this is epidemic is nationwide. It's across the country. Mexico's involved. China's involved. There's all kinds of geopolitical things that go along with this. It's hard for me to believe that Lewis Jackson would be playing basketball overseas if he had that much ammunition in his car.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, a gun and ammunition. Yeah, yeah, they would have
get 700 bullets.
Yeah, they would have locked him up in federal court.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But we got to get serious about this if we're going to stop this. Too many people losing family members. Too many people getting into crime that were not criminals because of ankle surgery. I mean, that's the difference to me, is that you got people now, and I have learned during our entire forum and talking to experts that if you have a certain DNA. And makeup, you can become addicted to these pain pills in like less than 4 days. Now, most people don't think that you go home with a 7-day prescription to help with your surgery that you could come out the other side of that a drug addict.
Absolutely. And, people could get addicted to anything, cigarettes, whatever it is, alcohol. I mean, there's all kinds of people that have addictions to a lot of different things. And it's not necessarily the fact that they're addicted to one thing. If they're addicted to one thing, they probably have that. Genetic makeup of where they could be addicted to just about anything.
All right, hang tight. We got to take a break. Jim Root's in. He's running for sheriff. He'll be on the Republican primary. No opponent, so he'll be in the race in November to face either Tony Brown or John Butts, whoever comes out of the Democratic primary.